Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to Family Dynamics, the show where we talk about family-related issues. Of course, I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are tuned into Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. We're continuing with yet our wonderful conversations right here on your number one talk radio station. Now, trust us to bring you topics, right, about life, about Christmas. Yes, you just listened to a very wonderful conversation by Francine Angela. I'm talking about Christmas. I'm not so sure exactly what in detail, but yeah, it had all to do with Christmas. Of course, welcome to yet another show or another episode on Family Dynamics. Now, today we're talking about hope. Of course, today we're talking about hope for every family. That is what we are going to be getting into. We want to get into conversation about really some of the struggles that families do go through. We don't want to overlook that and just talk about the good things that family encounter, but we also want to be realistic and speak about some of those challenges that sometimes family go through. And of course, and I am saying there is hope, because in every situation, in every dark moment, there is hope that's certain. There is always hope. There is always light at the end of the tunnel. Nothing remains the same forever. Now, when we talk about family dynamics, it is important to acknowledge a truth that many families live with quietly. No family is perfect. Now, every family in one way or another faces challenges. Some are visible, others are hidden, but the presence of struggle does not mean the absence of hope. Yeah, the presence of a struggle of the current situation that your family may be going through doesn't mean that there isn't hope, or doesn't mean that you shouldn't be hopeful, doesn't mean that the situation will remain like that forever, doesn't mean that there is no change that's going to come your way. All you have to do is keep hope alive. And I sure hope that I will be talking to somebody or to some family this very afternoon. Now, let's start with families dealing with a misbehaving or troubled child. Often society is so quick to label such children as difficult or problematic, but behavior is usually a communication. Now, children act out when they are overwhelmed, when they are unheard, when they are misunderstood, or they are carrying emotional burdens that they do not yet have the words to express. Yep. Now, hope begins when families shift from punishment alone to understanding, to guidance, to consistency, and to patience as well. With love, structure, and support, children can change. They can grow and they can heal. No child is beyond redemption, definitely, and no mistake defines a child's future. So, when we're talking about a child who is misbehaving, we sometimes have to sit down and understand. We sometimes have to sit down and understand the root cause of why this particular child is misbehaving, why this particular child is throwing tantrums, or why this particular child is constantly trying to be out of the house, you know. And I think as African parents, that's something that we certainly lack in doing. That's also something that I've come to learn with time. I've come to learn it, you know. Usually as African parents, we tend to just think everything needs to be sorted by a rod. Everything needs to be corrected by beating the child or by punishing the child. No, it's not always the case. Some mistakes or some corrections have to come through understanding the child, speaking to the child, sitting down with the child and trying to really understand what is going on and why they are acting a particular way. You know, sometimes if you stay in a house with other people, you'll be surprised later on in life that the reason why the child couldn't even stay at home was because of a particular person who's also staying at home, who makes the child feel unloved or disaggregate. You know, there's segregation. Yeah. Okay. Segregates. Pardon me. So this particular person segregates children. They prefer this child over the next child. So that segregation also causes the other child to feel unloved, to feel unwanted. Hence, they will feel like they need to go where they are appreciated, where they feel like they are loved. So, yeah. So we need to get to the root and understanding our children, especially those ones that we feel like they are so misunderstood. It's, you know, some of the children who we label as problematic, are sometimes just misunderstood children. And we have different characters. Some children, they can be misunderstood and still just keep on, you know, pushing and just ignoring and everything. But for other kids, the fact that you misunderstand them, it's a whole big deal to them. And therefore, they will lash out. Therefore, they will behave in a manner that is not conducive, that is not good. So in that particular aspect, really, hope begins when families now shift from trying to look for some sort of punishment towards this child to actually understanding this child and guiding this child and consistently being in their presence and being patient with them and being vocal to actually tell them that, you know what, you are loved, you are cared for, you are important as well. And some children actually feel like they get more a bit of a beating than the other, you know, they are more punished compared to the other child. And therefore, it's also necessary to have a talk with all children and speak about, okay, I don't appreciate how you do this. I don't appreciate it. And comparison also is another dangerous thing when we often compare our children to each other. Remember, every child is unique. Every child has their own character, has their own understanding of matters, have a certain their own way of perceiving matters, and have their own way of dealing with their emotions. So no child, as much as they can have similarities, they are not the same. They are two different personalities. As much as they are from the same womb from the same dad, they are different children. And I think that is where we need to understand it. We need to understand that we are dealing with individuals. We are dealing with people, especially parents or guidance or teachers in boarding school who are looking after children. You need to first of all understand that you are dealing with a human being, and secondly, that you are dealing with a child. Yeah. If you really want to overcome certain situations that are now coming into your family. Now, sometimes problematic children become problematic adults if the situation is not dealt with. Other aspects also, they grow up well, being very well grounded, and then when they become going to their adult life, they start to somewhat misbehave. Here also, there's a need to look at the influence that is coming their way, the pressure that is coming their way, the challenges that they are now coming their way. Is it could be that they are going through certain challenges and that they don't know how to navigate them, and therefore they feel like lashing out, or perhaps coming home late. And I'm talking about now adult teenagers who still stay with their parents, or the 21s, the 22s, the 25 or so, and especially when it's a boy child. Ooh, I think when it's a girl child, it's more harder to handle because you are sensitive to a girl child. But for a boy child, I think we tend to make excuses for them because it's a boy, and even if they didn't sleep in the house that day, you kind of comfort yourself to say maybe they slept at their friend who happens to be a male. But for a female, it becomes very not easy to handle. You really begin to wonder and begin to question, but where is my daughter? So then also in that aspect, it's necessary to sit down with your teenager and speak to them, or with your adult child, and communicate to them with respect. Remember, the next person also want to be treated with respect. Now we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace with a commercial break. We'll be back shortly. This is Family Dynamics with yours truly, Dafa Happy Juju, right on Eagle FM.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossen Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Omarandisiro wehira kamwaha. Yanje ombango batule bana mibyo tukondwa tokolo mbanda. Inga omachivisiro omana hepero chinene okula ko ministry otutungono bikunwa omibano matuni no wehi. Alikane pulatene na wa numuhana sane ombulenji ko nepo wetu nduroye obararanganda no mapanga. Ominarashike, ominarakusha omahiwo kolo mbanda mona mibya, omahiwo horo mende nukaye sekurandisiwa mungamwa omano auhe. Okukala norupa munga mwa omangulilo ngasha manomarandisiro po omarandiro wa mahi ochina chichiri penje oveta. Oveta yomatuni wa mahi wa kolombanda, oveta oisha tano yombura inji onayewali nambali, isha era oukahu onga nolonjito ohamukua na indo. Omberero yomarandisiro wa mahi penje oveta. Olombero lokochi veta, obakatuke oveta mapea abehunga mwa iyo olombero lokufuta ochimariva po omberero yokukara mondeko. Ondombero yongaro ombwa yoshiwana. Okurandisa po, okuranda ehiro kolombanda, marire ochinachi machitwara kolonjaka halomahi nomba meno mokatiko biwana vietu. Muhepa okushuwa shike, ehiro kolombanda ehiretu atuhe, oro omahaneno woburo yetu jima iso kuyeta ombwiro komundu auhe. Okutida obiruma twa vietu, kehiro mwano wakutenga ehiretu rokolombanda etemonao tuyanja ondenge rokondengu yombadu yetu nokushevera olondendera detu. Chivisa obishitwa vyo penji oveta. Chuno mahaka wangamwa omangulilu wa penji oveta, alikana chivisa omahakango kuhona pari ombadu ochirata shomahi wakamuha, po kombero yo ministri njiri popedu noruko ndwaroye. Katungule pamwe okushevera olongulo detu rokolombanda na rolondito na la muhuka. O ministri kaina kukara no mediria wanga mwa ombanjarero yolomburo dehi, duma detwa iyo marandisiro wa mahi wakolo mbanda penji oveta. Nyemburuka kusha, kehiro wakolo mbanda ochina ochihude, gaturi tide kehiongaro ombwa, nunji nongudikiro kubandu abehe. Okuhepa koma unguliru wakume, ombude yorati yonji, ya dikamisi wapamu eno batu la shimariwa okudako horomende ya Namibia, no horomende yehiro bando ishi, okupitira mwombanga yomekulisiro yehiro bando ishi. Konjivisiro yoko mulungu, alikana hakaena kweno mbero yorupa roma unguliru wakume, kweno shiwana, mwaministri yotitu ngono yikunwa, omeba no matuni no wahi, po kongode eno mora inji, onora, ohambo umwe, oimwe, ombali, onora, ohambo nda ohambo mbali, ohambo umwe, ombali, nomuni.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Family Dynamics, the show that talks about family-related issues, anything pertaining to that. Now, you know, we still have quite some time to discuss on this beautiful show in terms of family dynamics. We try and touch on different aspects so that at the end of the season, we are well grounded and reminded of things that we ought to look at and perhaps things that we ought to implement or change, bring into effect, things maybe that we ought to let go of after this, you know, this time of obviously bringing us things that need to be brought to the surface. Now, of course, today we're talking about hope for every family. And we're starting off with discussing the scenario of a troubled child or a misbehaving child. As we are stepping into the year 2026, I would love us to reflect on our relationships with our children, every one of them. I think this is a time really to, as much as we are going to set goals for the new year, things that you would want to achieve, maybe you're going back to school, maybe you are going to get your driver's license finally, you want to buy your car, you want to save up good money, you want to become a better wife or a better spouse, a better husband, maybe you want to become a good friend this time around. Let's not forget also in terms of motherhood and fatherhood that we would also want to become the best versions that we can be in terms of being a mom, being an aunt, being a guardian, being a father, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So in that, in that particular aspect, that's why we started off with dealing with a misbehaving child or a troubled child. Now, dealing with a troubled child, that doesn't mean that there is no hope for the future. Like I said before, sometimes it really takes sitting down with the child and understanding them. Another particular aspect I really would want to talk about at this particular moment in time is as our children, for those of you who have children who go to boarding school or go to stay in the hostel. And in other words, this is also the time to speak to your little one and find out from them if they are really happy with where they are. Because sometimes really we have our children in boarding school and they are absolutely not happy. It is miserable for them. Some of them they bear, some of them they come and speak their minds and say, "Mommy, I'm not interested in going back to boarding school." At that point, you don't want to force your child in a situation where they really don't want to be. We need to also listen to our little ones and understand them. If need need be, perhaps, maybe you can also try and find out yourself. Maybe you can take, you can follow them at school and get some more clarity and some more questions. For some children, they might need to be removed from the school altogether. For some of them, maybe it just requires actually, going with them to the school and speaking to their teachers or the matron when, and other kids. And I don't know, you know, that type of thing. So it's different scenario for different children. So, but then again, we don't want to just overlook what they say. Remember, that's our human beings that we are dealing with, and we need to be lenient, and we need to open our ears to hearing them and understanding them. So in that case, in terms of a misbehaving child or a troubled child, there is hope. And I want to make it clear, as I'm talking about a misbehaving child or a troubled child, I'm not talking about children who have health conditions. Health conditions, so that's another scenario on its own. I'm talking about children who probably do not then have health conditions, and they just tend to be lashing out. But then again, also sometimes you might think that your child is just very unnecessary, only to find out later that the child actually does have a health condition that needs to be dealt with. So it's also very necessary to then reach out to healthcare workers to help you diagnose some of those particular health issues that sometimes you are not even aware that they do exist. Now, then there are families separated by circumstances, either by school, by work, by migration, or life's demands. Now, many parents are forced to live very far from their children in search of opportunity. I've come to notice that it's very prevalent and common right here in Namibia, especially with some people coming to work in the city and then their children stay back at the village. Now, many couples are also separated by distance, by long hours, or different paths in life. Now, while physical distance can strain relationships, hope remains through intentional connection. Intentional connection. You know, I know of a couple, whom the husband is a teacher and the wife is also a teacher. Now, the husband was a teacher long before they got married, and the wife had just finished university. In fact, she went on to do her master's in their first year of marriage, and she graduated. She did her master's in education, and then she got a job now the next year. So in that first year, they were together, but in the third year, then she got a job, and fortunately, she started working in another town. That's where she started working, and the husband had to remain in the city. And every now and then, she'll be traveling from the city to come and see her husband. So now I believe that that is intentional connection, as opposed to some couples who are distant, who are in a distance marriage. I don't believe in distance marriages, you all. It can, I do say that, it can be done, but work on trying to being together. Work on trying to be together, because at the end of the day, marriage wasn't intended to be distant. It's not healthy for both couples. It's not healthy at all. It strains relationships. It brings in infidelity, even to the one person who never thought that they could commit infidelity, but it sometimes it brings in that, because you are yearning and longing for somebody. And then sometimes you start seeing your colleague or your coworker or your any person suddenly they become very close to you, and then you start thinking, oh wait, you know, and before you know it, you're falling into infidelity, something that you had not intentionally planned to. So I don't recommend long distance marriages. What I would encourage is, if it happens that one person is working somewhere and the other next person is working somewhere, at least while you are doing that, work on being together. Work on coming to work in one town. With time and with prayers, I believe that is attainable and that is possible. So now this particular couple are distant like that, and sometimes also a distance for a particular time, for a certain time, not for too many years, man. That's what I think. For a particular time can be a good thing, because it makes you miss your spouse. It makes you miss your partner. It makes you appreciate them even the more, you know, as opposed to every day you are together and you see them throw the clothes on the floor, as opposed to putting them in the main key. That would definitely annoy you, or in the basket for dirty laundry. That would definitely annoy knowing you so much, but then when you are not together, every time you tend to overlook those situations or those factors, you tend to just overlook them, which is a very good thing. So everything has its good side, has its positive side. Nonetheless, we need to appreciate every aspect. So now I'm talking about intentional connection. When you are in a distance or even as a family, you know, sometimes the husband is working somewhere and the wife and the children are somewhere else. Let there be intentional connection. Let there be intentional connection by, you know, we have now. Let's explore the social media, you know. Let's really make use of it. I mean, we have WhatsApp where you can video call your family. You can actually say every second day or every third day, I'm going to call my family. And then we also have, what do you call them now? We have so many platforms, so to say. Zoom as well. We have so many platforms that you can Telegram. You so many platforms that are there. Just choose what is more convenient for you. What is more convenient for you, and try to be intentional in connecting with your family. So ensure that there's regular communication and there is honesty and transparency. There is honesty. I do remember of a story that I read, of a wife that was, her husband was actually a pastor. Was he? Yeah, he was a pastor, and he was abroad for a while. He traveled for a while and she was working with her boss, and she could tell that, the boss was being very intentional about his attention to her, towards her. And she started appreciating the time he spent with her, the talks, the conversation that he spent with her. And so before she knew it, she realized that she had fallen in love with this person. She had realized that she certainly is gone into the, and it was actually, I heard it from the horse's mouth. She was actually speaking this, not live, but through a video. She was actually saying that. And so, you know what she did? Because she realized that which was going on, she, when her husband came, she was honest with her husband. She said, I want to tell you something. And she made it frank from the beginning to say, I want to speak to you as a pastor, as my pastor, not as my husband. You know, I think there's a distinct, but even if the husband wasn't a pastor, I think she probably would have said, I want to speak to you as a friend. Somebody is a counselor, not as my husband at this point in time. And she came clean and she said this co-worker, we began spending time. I became emotionally attached, this and this and this and that. I'm seeing myself really going. And then I think she did say that the husband asked, has anything happened yet? She said no. And then the husband gave her tips on what to do now, how to go about it. Be intentional now. Be intentional to drift away from this connection. Be intentional to step away from it. And that is honesty, your all. You know, the problem, the reason why we often fall into the ditch when you can see that you're about to fall into the ditch is lack of honesty, first with yourself and with the next person. If you can start off by being honest with yourself, I think then we've covered there's still much to be covered, but we at least have taken off a bigger chunk of the problem that is at hand. So be honest with yourself first and look for somebody whom you can confide in, somebody who can hold you accountable, somebody who will not let you just swing in and say, it's okay, your husband is fine now. So you can, you know, somebody who can really ground you, somebody who can really be truthful to you and say, you know what? This is not appropriate for you. We know this entanglement can lead you. You will lose this beautiful thing. And that's probably just a fling that's come by and will definitely go by. And before you know it, you are out in the cold and you have messed up that which was your own. So intentional, honesty, emotional presence also. Ensure that you are emotionally present. As much as it's a distance, family connection, make sure that you are emotionally present. You can speak to your children. Let them be able to freely cry to you over the phone and say, Daddy, I had a very terrible day today. You know, make yourself available, for your family and for your children. Also reassure your wife as who is taking care of the children and you are so far. Reassure her that she's a strong woman. She's doing a good job. Tell her about all those beautiful qualities that she's doing, how she's taking care of the children. You know, we as women, we have what it takes to take care of a family. All we need to do is somebody to be reassuring us that we got this. I now remember in the very beginning of me taking care of my children, and I needed that reassurance. I was scared to the core. Am I able to really raise my kids? Am I really able to do it? You know, I don't know where that fear even comes from, but yeah, we just need reassurance that you're able to do it. And now looking back, you definitely see that, oh my God, you have bestowed me with the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the grace, and even the energy to be able to look after, children. And it's a wonderful thing, because we mothers are really matured in an aspect. We have the strength in us, you know. You are able to go and cook and still wash the dishes and still read a book and still do something else on your own. So we can multitask in that aspect. And men, on the other hand, I don't know. But we do appreciate them for being the head and also being the provider. But we also appreciate them for being the people that can just assure us. So as the husband or as a father, just reassure the woman that you are strong and you're able to do this. And already look at the strong qualities that they're doing. Bring them out, and then you can see that they're able to do more. So ensure that you do that so that you can maintain strong bonds even across distance. Separation doesn't have to mean disconnection. Yeah, you can be separated from your family, but that doesn't mean it has to be it is disconnection. Not in the world where we are now of social media, where you are able to reconnect with your family anytime. Yeah. And also, when you do come, ensure that you bring along some gifts. Bring along some gifts for the children. Bring along some gifts for your partner. Some sort of appreciation gift also. And you know, when somebody has also gone away, it's how we tend to always look forward to their coming back, so we can receive some gifts from them. I'm guilty in that aspect, but yeah. Now, also, let's talk about financial hardship, which is another major challenge affecting families and a lot of families today. Well, lack of finances can create stress. It can also create tension and feelings of inadequacy, especially for parents who want to provide more for their children. But hope does still exist, even in scarcity. Okay? Families built on love, on unity, and cooperation often emerge stronger through hardship. I tell you, even the children begin to understand that, yes, mommy doesn't have money. I do remember a particular time, particular season, when my family and I were going through financial hardships, really. And I'm making it vocal to my children that sometimes when they wanted certain nice things, which they were most probably used to prior to that hardship, I would make it known to them that mommy doesn't have money. And they knew my wallet. I would send them my wallet. I'm not so sure. But then when we are together, they will really see that in mommy's wallet, there was no money. Or if there was, there was very little, and that was intended for something else. So when I would have money in this money in my wallet, they wouldn't say, "Mommy, can you buy us this and that?" Because mommy, you have money, and they so understood. And that time, my daughter was very quite small. She was less than a year, and so the boys were quite much bigger. They are about 7-6 years at that time. So even when we go to the shop, I kid you not, my boys would never cry for toys in the shop. Why? They understood that mommy didn't have money. And even that character of crying for toys, I learned very early from my aunt when she trained up my cousin. The time when I was a teenager, my aunt had a child who happened to be my cousin. And one particular time, we will go with him to the shops. He will always cry for things in the shop. One day, my aunt made, she deliberately told him, way before we are to leave the house, "If you are going to cry for things in the shop, you are not going. If you dare cry for toys in the shop, you will not go to the shops ever again." It was very serious. And that was the breaking point of my cousin. He stopped crying for toys in the shop. You know, you have to be very deliberate with them. He stopped crying because he knew my aunt wasn't joking. If he's going to be crying for the things in the shop, then that's the end of it. He's not going to go with to the shops anymore. And I remember also reading somewhere, I don't know if it was in a book, to say, as a parent, make it intentional. Make it known to your children. If you have gone to town and they are throwing tantrums, or she's throwing a tantrum, or your daughter, your son is throwing a tantrum, pack up everything. Even if you really needed to do shopping, pack everything and go home. Go home with your child and tell them, you are not going with me to the shops again for this very behavior that you did. I tell you, the next time that you actually go with them to the shop, they know mommy is not playing and is definitely no joking. So if they do try to pull that move again or the stunt again, they will be careful not to do it because they know that mommy is very serious or dad is very serious. So it's a matter of also putting our foot down with our children. So children raised in terms of financial, I diverted now into this particular aspect of throwing tantrums, because it's really necessary for parents who are sometimes wondering, how do I handle this child? How do I go about this child? Sometimes it's a matter of putting your foot down, not shouting at your child in public. Okay. That one just makes the situation worse. You know, back then I used to think, when I had my young children, I used to think the whole world is looking at you when your child is misbehaving or maybe crying or whatsoever. Some parents, they, even if they look at you, they are like, we've left our own at home. They are not perfect kids. They are children. That's what they are. And foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They do foolish things. So you are probably looking at it like, a lot of people in town now, adults, they are looking at you thinking you have spoiled your child. No, not always like that. Sometimes others are just looking at you with eyes to say, oops, sorry. We understand, we've been through that ourselves, so we go through that ourselves. So in that aspect, I then want to say it's not really wise to shout or scold your children, especially in public. You want to rather take them to the bathroom and scold them if necessary, and not rather in public, because then it becomes sort of like a fight between mommy and the baby mommy and the child and the toddler, because it's as if the more you do it, you're embarrassing them. So they extend their foolishness now even the more. And remember, you're the one to feel embarrassed. They don't feel embarrassed. They are children. They couldn't really, I think, care less. So children raised in homes where resilience, gratitude, and teamwork are molded learn values then that money cannot buy. You know, like I said, hope exists even in scarcity. Families built on love, built on unity, built on cooperation, often emerge stronger through the hardship. That word cooperation sums up the story that I just told of a time when finances were hard and my children understood with me. So bring the children in the loop. Make them understand. And when you do have something, ensure that you really go out and take care of them. It can be taking them to town. You know, a family can be going through hardship, but we can still do something to unite our family, something that brings joy to all family members involved. One thing that I always recommend is cook a meal at home. Eat with your children. You don't have much, yes? Eat with your children at home and take them somewhere for ice cream. If you don't have taxi money or the money is meant for something else, well, take a walk. Take a walk to somewhere with your children and buy them ice cream. They feel so loved and appreciated. If there is taxi money, well, head over to town and eat some ice cream with your little ones. It means a lot. Trust me. Even years from now, among those children, there will be one who will not forget that particular gesture. They won't. So when you do go to town, you don't have to buy lunch or dinner. You don't have to buy a meal, because you and your family have already eaten at home. You just take a nice stroll in town and they are eating their ice cream. Even it's those little things that really matter. Even as a husband who has a family, even if it's for you who has a family and you have your wife and children at home whom you would love to show them love, but you don't have a lot. Let cook some meal at home. You and your family eat a nice, well, full and whatnot. And then take them to town for a beautiful walk. And you know, speaking in town, what's coming to my mind is town here in the capital city, Windhoek, whereby, you know, how they decorate, how the city of Windhoek really puts up lights at this time of the season. These beautiful lights. You know, you can take a walk with your children, especially in the evening when the lights are really popping out, when the sun is just set. It looks so beautiful. They all appreciate that. And then when school starts, and then they are asked to write an essay, how was your holiday? At least they have something to say. My dad took us to town, the beautiful lights and all that kind of stuff. So good moments don't always require lots of money. Yeah. Financial struggles do not mean emotional poverty. They shouldn't mean emotional poverty. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be there for them. Doesn't mean that the family shouldn't discuss certain aspects and blend well together. No, not at all. Now, for that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace as we come and continue this wonderful conversation of there is still hope regardless of the situation that the family may be going through. I'll see you right after the commercial break.
Lipura nenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Pada Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Mura Hetatu, Natu, Bali, O Hetatu, Hatatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Family Dynamics right here on Eagle FM. Today we're talking about hope for every family. No, we don't need to despair and be discouraged. Of course, discouragement comes here and there, but we need to fight it with hope in whatever situation the family may be going through. Now, there are also families affected by illness, whether physically or mentally, chronic illness, disability, depression, or addiction can change family roles and dynamics completely. Now, the situations can feel isolating and overwhelming, but hope lies in community in professional help and shared responsibility. It's necessary to reach out to loved ones at this particular point in time. I know sometimes when we're going through situations, we tend to think other people must just see it and come through for us. I know that feeling of where we look at other people and say, but they know I have a disabled child, but they know my mom is been chronically ill. So why aren't they coming through for me? Why aren't they asking, do you need help? When? So at this point, we always make some assumptions, and which is not good. So it's very necessary that we also we become vocal and we speak about reaching out for help, whether it's professional help, whether it's community help, so that a shared responsibility becomes less of a burden than when it's just our own selves we're covering that we're doing that responsibility, or we're responsible for taking care of our person. So it's very necessary to speak out, to reach out to family members, and you'll be surprised when you actually do reach out that the family is willing to even send maybe a cousin to come and help with the raising of a child who's maybe ill, or to come and help, you know, just in whatever challenge that it may be. You'll be surprised. But it starts with you opening up and being vocal and reaching out and asking for help. Don't always say, I don't think they'll come through for me, I don't think they will be interested. You don't know that. It's better to ask and receive a no than to not ask and not know what the next person was going to say to you, what the answer or the outcome was going to be. So families that face illnesses together rather than in silence often develop deeper empathy and understanding. You know, I've seen people who are so appreciative. Oh, I actually remember of a guest I had right here on Eagle FM on Life Lessons show, and he became disabled after an attack from strangers, and he's so appreciative. He makes TikTok videos. He is so appreciative of his family. He's always very thankful because his family does everything for him. He sustained spinal injuries that he can't do much for himself. He can't feed himself, go to the bathroom himself. He has to have a catheter, but I do believe from what I've been noticing, his health is progressing and not deteriorating. And he says he feels pain, of course, here and there, spasm pains, but fortunately, his family is very forthcoming. And that is what we need. When our loved one has gone through particular pains, we want that. We want to feel loved, you know. We want to know that we can say thank you to our family. We want to really be able to rely on our family. And I think that's the time where you really appreciate one's family even the more. So some families struggle with constant conflict, arguments, unresolved tension, or breakdowns in communication. Now, in those homes, silence can be as damaging as shouting. There comes a situation where silence is necessary. There comes a situation where silence itself is like talking. Silence itself is an answer. Silence itself is damaging. So there's a part to be silent, there's a part to become vocal. And in becoming vocal, not just any vocality, you need to be wise and selective in the way you speak. When there is a particular situation or unresolved tension, unresolved trauma, arguments in a family, this requires outsiders as well, professional people as well, community members as well, maybe aunts and uncles, you know, but you have to be very specific. You don't want to involve too many people so as to escalate the matter, but you really want somebody to come in and perhaps be a mediator between you and that particular person, that particular family member with whom you have attention. Some other situations don't require a third party. They require only you to make peace with the next person. You can decide to go and visit them. Go with a gift, you know. There's a scripture that says, a gift blinded the eyes. So when you go with a gift, something well thought out, something that you know the next person will appreciate, it appeases the heart. And as you begin to talk, you really communicate truthfully and respectfully as well. Try to find common ground, because remember, you're going there for reconciliation. Now, hope begins with communication, humility, and sometimes mediation. So learning how to listen, to apologize, and to address issues very early on can slowly transform even the most strained relationships. I repeat that, learning how to listen, listening skills, you shouldn't be in a hurry to respond, but rather listen very carefully to what the next person is saying and try and understand them, why they acted the way they acted. And don't, you know, when an apology is coming, I was speaking to someone the other day, it's not good for us to, an apology, a person is giving us an apology and you are the rather scrutinizing it. You want to scrutinize the next person's apology. I don't do that. And I don't want to be doing that. When a person comes to you and says sorry, you want to be able to open up your heart and say, I receive your sorry. Not, yeah, but you did this and then you da 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 da. No, but this is different from obviously somebody coming to apologize and then you somewhat having a conversation on just trying to understand the next person. Not really now where the person is apologizing and you want to, you know, the tone that you are using is making the next person question themselves why they even reached out in the first place. I hope I'm making sense. And also addressing issues early on, not letting them or allowing them to continuously build up and build up and build up tension to a point it reaches whereby even any wrong mistake you do from henceforth, it is seen as building on the next, on the previous issue. So slowly, deal with your issues, address the issues that are on ground and slowly transform, which now can help slowly to transform even the most strained relationships, even the most looking, unresolvable situation, even the one that looks very impossible to solve. Let me put it that way. Now, there are also families dealing with separation, dealing with divorce, or co-parenting challenges. Now, while these transitions are painful, they do not have to destroy family bonds. Yeah. Children can still grow up emotionally secure when parents choose cooperation over conflict and prioritize the child's well-being over personal grievances. Families can change form without losing love. This is another important aspect that I wouldn't want to overlook in terms of dealing with challenges, family challenges. We know that some families go through separations. Some families go through divorce. Others are dealing with co-parenting challenges where there's an issue of whom the children should go with and all that kind of stuff. It's Christmas. Whom should the children be with and all that? I suggest, and I remember having a wonderful conversation some time ago again on Life Lessons on Eagle FM that spoke about it. The title was, when two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. So when two parents are fighting, it is the children that suffer. But when you as a parent make a deliberate decision that I'm not going to allow my personal grievances with my partner get the best of me and my children suffer in the process. You make that conscious, deliberate decision. And then with this particular aspect, doesn't mean that the next person is now forthcoming and being the best, cooperating partner they are. Doesn't mean that they are providing, the financial aspect that they are supposed to be providing for the children. Doesn't mean that they are providing the emotional aspect. They can be lacking in whichever area that they are lacking, but you decide peace over conflict, and you decide to understand with them also. You understand with them when they say, well, I don't have finances right now to be able to help you. And yes, you may be the one who's staying with the children. You know, you need the finances, but you know very well starting an argument with the next person is still not going to resolve the conflict. So you choose to overlook certain aspects. You choose to overlook that weekend when the other partner was supposed to come and get the children and didn't. You choose to overlook certain things and you choose peace over. You, at the end of the day, you as a parent who has now gotten a particular understanding and some sort of maturity, understand that, you know, both parents are very much necessary in a child's life. And sometimes, the other parent might not be able to come through for the child financially, but allow the next parent to come through for the child in a manner that they are able to come through. You know, I appreciate parents who co-parent, and the one parent says, I'm not able to come through financially, but I'm able to be there, should they be necessary for this and this and this and that. You know, I'm going through a tough time with my work and all that and that. And I believe it requires now the other parent to be understanding, because tables do turn. What if tomorrow a situation happens to you that you're not able to come through for the family? Yet the next person is now able to come through for you guys, regardless of whether you are separated or whether you are divorced or whatsoever, and they are able to come through. So situations do change. Tables do turn. So let's also exercise patience with other people, even if they are not the best people or their best parent or they are not the best co-parenting partners. You just choose peace and choose the priority of a child over fights and arguments and trying to balance who is right. And also, this aspect, you have to be also wise that you don't bring in your personal grievances with the person, your unresolved trauma, you know, your relationship past conflicts and stuff. You want to separate the children from this particular aspect, you know. You don't also want, you know, I think also at this point, I would want to speak to that one mother who is sitting at home. And maybe perhaps, their partner ended the relationship and there's a child involved or maybe even children involved, and they want to use the children to somewhat, blackmail or to somewhat, and you know, blackmail can happen also very softly, right? Very lovingly. Let me put it like that. You know, emotional blackmail. You say the child's not feeling well. Can you please come over? And that stuff like that. So that could also be blackmail, or that can also be blackmail. So I want to speak to that particular person to say, sit down, do a reflection on yourself and tell yourself, I'm not going to use my children to get what I want. I'm not going to use my children as an excuse. I'm not going to make my children my tool for emotional blackmail. No. First of all, deal with your own trauma. Get the healing that you need. It's a process. It's a continuous process. But don't use your family and don't use your children to blackmail their dad or you as a father. Don't, you know, this is where we really need to sit down and with ourselves and have honest conversations with ourselves. That way, you are able to overcome certain situations. And this is the aspect of where I tell you, hope still exists even over that situation. But you have to be deliberate. You have to be deliberate about the actions and the decisions you're making. So grief is another reality many families face today. The loss of a parent, the loss of a child, the loss of a loved one. Now, grief reshapes families. For some families, grief unites them, strengthens them, bring them closer, because they tend to appreciate one another even the more, because they realize that it's possible to lose a family member. And then, for other families, grief tears them further apart, because it often leaves emotional gaps that feel impossible to fill. But hope still exists in remembrance, in shared healing, especially in shared healing. It is a part where you don't want to bury your emotions and bury your feelings, but rather share how you appreciated the next person, how you know, in all honesty. And also, you allow space for mourning. just because I keep saying, just because the next person has gotten over their situation, don't rush the other person who hasn't yet gotten over. So allow space for mourning for the next person, for your other family member. Now, grief does not mean the end of family. No, it means learning how to carry love differently. Yeah, it means how to carry love differently. It does not mean the end of family. It doesn't mean it has, the grief has to separate you, has to disconnect you. It doesn't mean that. So, yeah. And in terms of grief, it's very important to notice the next person, your loved one, who's taking the grief very difficult. And that's where you as a family member come in. That's where you will now reach out to professionals to come in. Why? You see that the next person needs help beyond what you can provide. And that is wonderful. And that is a good thing. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. I open our lines also for you to come through to share your opinions and contributions right here on Family Dynamics. I'll see you after the commercial break.
Lipura nengelo wapungwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuana konongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka okwene ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Father Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Watatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Welcome back, right here on Family Dynamics. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Jojo, and you're listening to, you're tuned into Eagle FM right here, listening to the show called Family Dynamics. Now, it's talking about hope, that there is hope for a family in whatever situation that they may be going through. I keep saying, that the sun, and this is something that I've come to learn, with time, from my leader, who says that, the sun doesn't stay in the cloud forever. Eventually it does come out. It may stay in the cloud maybe two, three days, but it eventually does come out. In other words, no situation remains the same forever. it is bound to change. That situation is bound to change. But it also depends, the length of how long it will stay like that depends on you and your outlook on life and your faith also. Do you have hope that it can change? Yes. So some families struggle with generational trauma, patterns of abuse, patterns of silence, patterns of neglect, patterns of emotional distance passed down over time. Now, the circles can feel deeply ingrained, but they are not unbreakable. They are able to be destroyed. They are able to be broken. They are able to be stepped over. Now, hope begins when one person chooses awareness and healing. The moment you become aware of your situation, now you are stepping into your healing. The moment you acknowledge your situation, you're already one way, one foot in, stepping into the process. Now, one person deciding to love differently can change the direction of an entire family line. One person deciding that this is not going to continue. One person being intentional that I'm not going to allow this pattern of abuse to continue, at least not with me. If other family members decide that they are going to be part of that, it's not going to be with me. They start and make deliberate decisions. Let's say it's patterns of alcoholism, patterns of family continuously going to the cooker shops, you know, of mom and dad and brothers, and nobody even gets to finish their school. It becomes a pattern. And this particular young girl, particular young boy decides that this pattern is not going to, it ends with me. I make a deliberate conscious decision. You know, I know of a particular man who says that they were actually a lot of brothers. There were a group of brothers. I don't know what you call a group of siblings. I think it's a bunch of siblings. I don't know. So there were brothers and, had only one sister. And he said, and he's the last born. And he said his mom, their dad passed on. So the mom used to send him to take food to his brothers in prison. And people used to laugh at him. They were struggling financially. He didn't know that he was going to go on and have a good life and go to university and graduate and have a good job and get married. You see? But it has happened for him. He made that deliberate conscious decision that he's not going to do what his brothers were doing, stealing people's things, and being taken to jail. And the whole community, when they have lost something in the community, they always point to their house to say it's just them who stole whatsoever, you know, even when they were not involved. But then he made that deliberate, conscious decision that this pattern of jail is not going to be my portion. As we speak, he's a pastor now, as we speak. So he made that conscious, deliberate decision that it's not going to continue with him. So it's a decision that you can cut yourself off from this. It can be abuse of words, emotional abuse, you know, especially when you're coming from a family background of shouting and bad words and insults, you know, you are most likely also to go and be doing that to your children. But when you make a deliberate, conscious decision that it's not going to happen in my family, and when you see it surfacing, you stand up against it and you say no. If it requires prayers, then so be it. You pray against it. If it requires counseling, then you seek counseling. If it requires being vocal about it, then you become vocal about it. In other words, you employ every mean to ensure that this pattern of what I'm seeing in my family will not continue with me. Then when you're determined for something, when you are determined that this is not going to be my portion, you rise up to it, to rise up to the occasion, then yes, you are able to do it. So hence why I say there is hope. There is hope in whatever situation, in however dark that situation may be, there is hope. Now, there are also families where faith, culture, or values crash across generations. Now, young people may feel misunderstood, while elders feel disrespected. I think especially in terms of faith, when as a young person, you now, or as a person, let me never say as a young person, you as a person, you decide that, you know what? I am stepping away from what I've been taught, whether it's culturally, certain values or faith. And especially, let me speak about faith. You make a deliberate decision to say, I'm not going to follow this way of their faith. I found something that I acknowledge. Well, I would say respectfully tell your family and stand your ground. But then also make room to listen to others, because you could be wrong. You could also be wrong. You could be pursuing something else, but you could be wrong. But then again, when you're very assured and very confident, and very peaceful about whatever faith you're following, and you're very assured, then respectfully, carefully communicate to your family to say, this is the pattern I'm following now. Let it just not be unhealthy for you. May not be unhealthy, because when your family sees that this is unhealthy for you, and they want that's one of the main reasons why they would want to intervene. And by healthy, I mean also spiritually healthy. There are certain, faith that are not spiritually healthy for us, you know, and sometimes you may be too blind to see it yourself, but your family is able to see it and then they come in. But then again, whatever, communicate respectfully to your parents or to your cousins or to your aunties. Communicate to them respectfully. And also for you, you parent or you sibling that see your sister or your brother or whosoever taking on a faith that is very unhealthy, and you can tell that this is unhealthy, what I would suggest is, and you've been trying to explain to them, but they're not listening. They are very stubborn, so to say, maybe not the word stubborn, very adamant with their choice. Then the more you try and push your faith on them, the more you try and make them see that that is not healthy, the more you will actually lose them. There are times where we need to let go and allow people make their mistakes. And I think this sums up our conclusion of our conversation today. Hope lies in dialogue, in mutual respect, and willingness to learn from one another. Families thrive when tradition and change are allowed to coexist. Okay? They thrive when tradition and change are allowed to coexist, when political affiliation is allowed to coexist, you know, when faith and culture and values are allowed to coexist. And thus, I will now emphasize to say, respect the next person. Even if what they're doing you feel like is wrong, at the end of the day, we need to allow people to make their mistakes, okay? Allow people to fall into the ditch sometimes. Yes, allow them, so that when they do fall into the ditch, they now struggle to come out, or even come out, and perhaps reach out to you to help them come out. And when they do reach out to you to help them come out, you know, tomorrow, that person won't want to take that path. Why? They fell in the ditch when they walked that path. So when it has gotten to a point where you are really making yourself known, and making yourself vocal, and it's not working, please allow. We are human beings. We are created by God, and even God himself gives us allowance. He allows us to make our choices. So you also, as a person, allow the next person to make their choices. You know, allow the children to make their choices, not children as in the younger ones. Of course, there are certain situations up to certain extent, but adult children to make their choices. And when they make their mistakes, they will learn from their mistakes. So hope exists, and hope lies in dialogue, in mutual respect, and in willingness to learn from one another. They can still be joy and happiness when we respect each other, and have certain boundaries that we put, and respect other people's boundaries. Yeah. Now, of course, we've come to the conclusion of today's episode of Family Dynamics. I must say that I've learned something, and I really enjoyed this conversation. Probably conversation because you're also listening. Yeah, but I sure hope that you have learned something. And yeah, extend also the message to the next person. Of course, I'll see you again next time. Same place, same radio frequency, or download the app, listen to us via the website, head over to our podcast session via the app if you would like to listen to this conversation again. From me, the Afa Happy Juju is goodbye. Have yourselves a wonderful 25th November to 25th December, and Merry Christmas to you all. Goodbye.